Our 18th study in Luke brings us to chapter 17, verse 20. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. The Jews believed, for the most part, that the kingdom of God would be introduced with all sorts of cosmic signs. Jesus says, there will be no signs like you people think. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The Pharisees asked when the kingdom of God would come. Jesus says, it's here right now. It's available right now. It's not coming with cosmic signs or pomp and ceremony. And that is true today. We enter God's kingdom when we invite God's King to take over our lives and save our souls. Verse 22, then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. The days of the Son of Man refer to the good times the apostles are having with Jesus right now. Those days were happy. The crowds were huge. The word of God was spreading, miracles were being done, excitement was everywhere. But Jesus warns that it will not always be that way. And when it isn't, they will miss it. 24. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. You will not have to search for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, when he returns. So if some crackpot comes along and says that he's Christ, don't go chasing after him. 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. In other words, the Lord's return will be very obvious. There will be no question about it when he returns. When Jesus returns, you won't need to have anyone inform you. You won't need anyone to knock on your door and tell you that Christ is here. Do not believe any stories about anyone being the Lord Jesus Christ unless you personally see him descend from outer space without the use of an airplane, a hang glider, a parachute, or anything else. 25. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Jesus said, but first. And those are not words that people like to hear sometimes. You can have money, but first work. Jesus will return from heaven and set up a great kingdom, but first he must suffer and die to pay for our sins. Suffer, sacrifice, work, and reward. Jesus has set the pattern for us. 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. The warning from God is, Christ will return, and the judgment will come as a surprise. The people of Noah's time were so caught up in and preoccupied with the things of this world that Noah's warning didn't even sink into them. 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. One minute the people of Sodom were doing their normal things. It was a day like any other day. But then suddenly judgment hit, and they were buried alive, burned alive, and then sent to hell to burn forever. And they never saw it coming because they were so occupied in their lives and so occupied with sin. 30. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, people were given over to sin, thinking that there was no price to pay for it, and that is the way it will be when Jesus Christ returns. The destruction of the world and the judgment of sinners will happen unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. 31. In that day he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. In other words, be careful. Make sure you're not attached to the things of this world, Jesus is saying. Could cost you your life. Could cost you your soul. Make sure that Christ is number one in your life. In other words, don't delay. Turn to Jesus Christ right now, today. Don't cling to sin. Don't cling to the things of this world. God's wrath will strike swiftly, so everyone ought to receive Christ without delay. That's the lesson. 32. He says, remember Lot's wife. You know, Lot's wife did not want to perish with the wicked in Sodom, but she didn't want to give up her sin either. She wanted both. But it must be one or the other. She turned back to Sodom and she was destroyed. It has to be one or the other. It can't be both. You can't have your sin and Christ. You can't have your sin and salvation. You must choose. And so Jesus says in verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. You know, if there is no willingness to turn from sin, if there is no willingness to turn from the old ways, the old life, and if there is no willingness to suffer rejection from the world if need be, then a person cannot receive Christ and be saved. And in that case, they will be damned along with the rest of the world. If someone wants to hang on to the old life, they will not get eternal life. 34, I tell you that in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. In other words, the return of Christ will be sudden. And when it happens, it will be too late for those who didn't want him to change their mind. Jesus is saying there will be a swift and permanent separation between people who know Christ and those who do not know Christ. 36. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. God knows those who are his, and he will remove his before he punishes the wicked. God does not punish you if you are a Christian. God protects you. 37. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? In other words, where will this judgment take place? Verse 37 again. They answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles or the vultures will be gathered together. An eagle's eye is really an amazing thing. It can zoom in like a telescope. It can find a dead carcass from a long way off. And in the same way, God will find every sinner who has not repented. He will find them, and he will punish them, and it will happen wherever they happen to be. That's the answer to the disciples' question. It'll happen. Where will this judgment take place? Wherever they happen to be. Chapter 18. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And that was kind of probably surprising to the ears of his disciples. Men ought always to pray. I say that because the Israelites believed that they should pray three times a day. And any more than that, and you're probably a nuisance to God. And Jesus says, no, you pray at all times. And don't give up either. Verse 2, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now this judge was the exact opposite of God. This judge in Jesus' story, the exact opposite of God. Righteousness and fairness meant nothing to this judge. Verse 3, now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. This woman had every right to stay on that judge until he did the right thing. I mean, that's what he got paid to do. But he obviously didn't care, and he obviously didn't do his job. Verse 4, and he would not for a while. He wouldn't give this woman justice. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The judge did not care about justice. The judge did not care about God or this woman. But he did care about himself. And that is why he will help her. He's just sick and tired of listening to her. 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. In other words, did you hear what the corrupt judge said? Did you hear what this unjust judge said? He said he will help. Even though he doesn't care, he will help. Now, in contrast to that, look at verse 7. Jesus says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? If the judge helped, even though he didn't care, God, who loves you and wants what is best for you, will certainly do what is right for you. God will do what is best for you because he is concerned about the things that concern you. 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is looking for Christians who will trust him, even though their prayers are not answered right away, or in the way that they think is best. So whether it's right before Jesus Christ returns or now, the point is keep trusting God. Even if it seems that he's not listening, because he is. Verse 9, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This little story is especially important for people who think that they are better than others, or those who maybe have been made to feel like they are not as important as others. This is a good story for folks like that. Here we go. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Oh, what a contrast. And people listening to Jesus speak here would say that the Pharisee is holy. He will be heard in his prayers because he is so holy, and the tax collector is sinful. He will not be heard. That's what the people would think. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. You know, mentioning God was just a formality for this Pharisee. This prayer wasn't directed towards God. It was a public prayer. It was designed for the people around him to hear. He was just advertising himself. It was a summary of how wonderful he thought he was. His prayer was designed to impress. 12. He continues, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He wants everyone to know just how wonderful he is, especially in contrast to that tax collector who's next to him. 13, and the tax collector standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that Pharisee. He says, oh, I'm glad. And he says, I'm so grateful to you, God, that you made me so wonderful. And I'm not like this horrible tax collector, you know. And that Pharisee, of course, was not telling this tax collector anything that he didn't already know about himself when he alluded to the fact that he was a terrible sinner, because he already knew that. The tax collector knew that about himself. He knew it so well that he didn't even lift his eyes toward heaven when he prayed. He was too embarrassed. He was too ashamed. He knew how rotten he was. He knew that so well that all he could do was beg God for mercy. 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. People who try to tell God how worthy they are wasting their time. We have nothing to barter with towards God. God, however, does honor the prayer of a humble person. When we ask God for a favor, even though we don't deserve it, that's when we are on the right track. That's the kind of prayer that the Lord will listen to. 15. Then they also brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The parents wanted Jesus to bless their children. And the disciples figured blessing children was a waste of the Lord's time, so they tried to stop the parents. 16. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. There isn't a child anywhere in this world, no matter what their parents are like, who doesn't immediately go to heaven if they should die. Jesus says, all such people, all such little ones, belong to the kingdom of God. 17, assuredly I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Children, believe what you say. And to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must believe what God says. Accept it, even if you can't figure it out, even if you don't understand it. Becoming like a child means you set aside all the complexities of religion and human ideas and philosophies and simply believe God when he says, receive Christ. 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I suppose this young man got wealthy by working and by doing. He conquered that goal, and now he sets his sight on heaven and plans on conquering that goal. He believed he had to do good. He had to do good works. He had to work hard. He just didn't know what kind of good works that he had to do. So he asked Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Now Jesus is not saying that he isn't good. He's not saying that he isn't God either. He's simply asking the man. Don't read anything into this that's not there. He is simply asking the man, why do you call me good? Not denying that he's good or God. He's just saying, why do you call me good? He says, God is really the only one who is good. In the absolute sense. That is, Jesus is trying to teach this man that he shouldn't call Christ good unless he believes that Christ is also God. That's the point. So that's what he's getting at here. And he says, why do you say that I'm good? Only God is good. Now, you think I'm God, which I am, then you can say that I'm good in the absolute sense. But anyway, Jesus goes on to answer the man's question in verse 20. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. As usual, when people suggest that they would like to work their way to heaven, Christ directs them to the Holy Scripture and the commandments of God. You keep the commandments perfectly without ever failing, and you will be good enough to enter into heaven. That's a correct answer. 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth. Well, you know, this man needs a new dictionary because his definition of good wasn't correct, and neither is his definition of kept. All these I have kept. Well, you know what? He had created a watered-down standard of righteousness in his own mind and then declared, I've kept it. He's playing silly games. 22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The young man had suggested that God was the absolute Lord of his life. So Jesus says, okay, let's see who really is the Lord of your life. Jesus, who is God, says, I want you to sell everything you have. You say you always obey God. Now prove it. Obey that command. Sell all you have. Follow me. That is what God is asking you to do. 23. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This man knew that there was more to life than wealth. That's why he approached Jesus. He knew that there was something missing in his life. His spirit was empty. He hungered for eternal life. He could not find peace, even though he had a lot of money. But he was so attached to the world, and he was so attached to his wealth, that he is not willing to obey Christ to obtain that peace. He had sold his soul to the God of wealth. He is miserable. And he has rejected Christ, so now he will remain miserable. We'll pick it up right here next time. Till then, so long, everyone.